on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. It's great to have you for this episode. It's hard to believe we're already in mid-October. We're closing down to the end of October. I mean, five games left in the regular season for football, four games left in the regular season for soccer. Volleyball is grinding through its regular season. They'll wrap that up here in the next month. So we're going on very, very quickly, it feels like. And don't look too quickly, maybe do if you're a big basketball fan, but basketball season is set to get going here in just a few weeks' time. So we are closing in on basketball very, very quickly. I'm excited for the basketball season. I'm not excited for the crossover season, although the good news about crossover season, football is doing well, so we hope that crossover season goes deep into December as well. But we'll see how things play out. It's just getting to that time of year where you're like, wow, we are getting really, really close to the basketball season. So it's coming very, very quickly. Coming up in the show today, we'll take a look at the Youngstown State Penguins with Bob Hannon. They are having a more difficult year than they had anticipated. They are at 2-5 on the season, 1-2 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and coming off of a 63-13 loss in Brookings last week against South Dakota State. So Youngstown State, they have three of their final five games at home, and one of those against USD. We'll get a preview of them with Bob Hannon. He does the play-by-play on radio for Youngstown State. Had a chance to catch up with Michael Thomas. His team has four games left in the regular season. They'll play a couple of contests this week in North Dakota, and then they wrap up the regular season next week at home against Oral Roberts and Denver. So a big push coming up for Coyote soccer. They're currently in sixth in the Summit League standings, and they are trying to get themselves in position for the Summit League soccer tournament. But we caught up this week to talk about his team and also becoming the all-time wins leader as the head coach of Coyote soccer. Coach Thomas, you look at this season and it just seems to be flying by. Only four games left in the regular season for your group, and you know, get to October and it's just kind of crazy thinking about how fast some of this goes.
Yeah, this all just flies by. They seem to start us earlier every year, and we were something like six games in before the students got on campus, and it just goes so fast, and it's gone in the blink of an eye.
I know you kind of have to do that for weather purposes, it seems like, but is it kind of a challenge starting your season, like actual games, that far before a lot of other competitions go?
It's just different for the environment that my players feed off, the support of the fans and the support of the other student athletes. And anytime we get a chance to step out on that field and compete, we're happy to do it, even if it's just us playing amongst ourselves. But it's always more special when you've got more Yotes around.
I know this, as this season has progressed, you got a couple of early wins, went through a stretch of a lot of road games for this team, and probably didn't get the results that they quite had hoped for. Tough stretch for this group, but it's really bounced back nicely. How do you try to manage such a challenging stretch with so many road games?
This season was always going to have its adversity. We have 14 freshmen on the team, and out of the returners, they're stepping into different roles, and I'm really proud of how they've come through that adversity. They never faltered. They stayed together. This has been a challenging season, but the team has made a challenging season as easy as possible.
When you look at the last couple of weeks, it seems like this team has started to click a little bit. Just a one-goal loss to Omaha, four goals against Kansas City, played to a draw with South Dakota State, who has been one of the best teams in this league for a while. How do you assess the last week and a half to 2 weeks?
You know, this team's talent, they can play with everybody. And I've been telling the team, I've been telling everybody else that we're going to get there. It's just a matter of whether we get there in time. And the team has a lot of a lot of positives to it from the back line to the front line. It's just a matter of whether we can gel and get that maturity in time for us to do something in 2024. All the signs are pointing that it's positive in that direction, and we just put together 180 of the most complete minutes we've had all year. Now we have to carry it into the next two games against North Dakota and North Dakota State.
When you look at this team, I know you said it, you could see talent, and we've gotten to know some of these names. Even though there's a lot of new ones, there's a lot of these players we've seen around here. One of the players that has certainly been a spark here recently for your team, Brooke Conway. Yeah, it's hard not to notice that, you know, her effort the last couple of games and just her effort here since her return.
Yeah, and Brooke's somebody who took a knock early in the year and missed some important minutes early in the year, which hurt us early in the year and hurt us in the middle part of the year as she was coming back into form. But I think the last few games we've seen the Brooke Conway that we all enjoy watching so much. And when Brooke's on her game, she's just a game changer, both offensively and defensively. And she's been a real joy to watch the last several games.
You know, she can be a player that provides a spark. Who on this roster really has to continue to play at a high level for this team to get where it wants to go in the next couple of weeks?
I mean, I can't say enough for what Sam Luft has been doing in the back for us. That, you know, Sam's somebody that can play in the midfield, can play in the back. She's just brought a bunch of maturity back there. She's got a lot of experiences. And I think her consistency since we've started conference has just been a real difference maker for us, and she's somebody that we're going to continue to lean on as we go into the next three or four games.
Recently, in that win over Kansas City, it was win number 50 for you as the head coach in the career in your coaching career at USD. Seventh year this season for you at the University of South Dakota. Moved into the top spot of the all-time wins list as the leader of the program. I know it's a long time coming, and you've had to grind through some seasons, but pretty special to see yourself and this program get to that point.
Yeah, I try not to make this about myself whenever I can, but this is something that I'd be lying if I didn't say it had some meaning for me. I've done a lot of things, and I don't know that I've ever been on the top of a list. Any coach with any self-awareness in this situation just has to thank all the players, because through every one of those wins, nobody's let me step on the field and kick a ball. Nobody's let me make a save. Nobody's let me win a header or get into a tackle. So it's something that has a lot of meaning to me, but my biggest emotion is just appreciation for all the women that put in all the work to get us there.
It's a result of a long time building a program that you've done, and I know it's gone through some ups and downs, but a long time building. When you get the chance and look back at that, how much can you appreciate the effort that this whole organization has been able to do with the assistant coaches you've had and so many different players that have come through the program?
There's so many people that contribute to this. I always go back to the first group I came in that let this guy that was moving from California, who was from Colorado, come in with a bunch of different ideas, and they just did whatever I asked them to do, whether it made sense to them or not. And I'm so appreciative for that first group, for that 2018 team. And I think back to the assistant coaches, to Maddie Gaffney and Maddie Burdick and now Abby and Maggie and training room staff and the facilities staff. And there's too many people for me to list them and thank them all, but you know, it's good for me to remember that I'm a very, very small part of all this, even though I get to sit here and give the interview.
In your time here, you've seen some big change even with the playing surface and getting opportunity to improve that. How much has that changed maybe the program and ability to help bring in some of these student athletes?
Yeah, well, I've actually been on that field the whole time I'm here. So it's something I came in at the right time. But when I talk to our players that have been here and getting to move over onto the new field, and you know, it's just people want to play at a nice place, and it's fun for us to be able to go and show off our field to recruits. And you know, the alum come back and they say, oh, I wish we could have played there. But that's the point. It's hopefully hopefully the next group is going to have something they're jealous of, because it's always supposed to get better.
Yep, you always hope to make it better. I noticed, after that win against Kansas City, you kind of dodged the water cooler, the Gatorade cooler. What was up with that? You got to stand there to take that.
Well, as I explained to him, my cell phone was in my pocket. To me, that's for winning conferences. And we won a game. We didn't win a conference. And I just wanted to show them that I've still got some athletic moves, and the old man can move a little bit.
All right, they'll catch you by more surprise the next time. Hopefully that means a conference championship coming up here in a little bit, which obviously that's where your team wants to get to. 2 weeks left in the regular season. What do you have to see out of this group over the next four games to give itself a chance to be in that Summit League tournament and feel confident going into it?
You know, it's funny you ask this question, because I go back to 2018, and everybody would always ask, what are you trying to do, and what are the overarching goals? And my answer was to be a little bit better the next day than we were the day before, and to just be the best version of ourselves. And I have a lot of belief in this team, and if we can just be a little bit better version of ourselves tomorrow than we were yesterday, and we can try to be the very best version of ourselves on all the game days, a lot of good things can happen for us. Anything less than that, and this is an insanely competitive conference, and somebody's gonna stand up and knock you down, because the Summit League is playing soccer at a high level right now.
All right, we'll look forward to seeing how the team finishes over the next couple of weeks in the regular season. Coach Thomas, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
That is Michael Thomas. He is the head soccer coach at the University of South Dakota. He's been here for 7 seasons. I didn't realize, I guess they say time flies when you're having fun, but if you heard that question about the soccer complex, I didn't realize the soccer complex, track, and Sanford Coyote Sports Center, they've been around for almost a decade now. Man, it just doesn't feel like we've had those for that long, but I guess time flies when you're having fun, so you start to think back into that. That was in that 2015 project, and I think all of those facilities opened in 2016, all a part of the same project. So it's just crazy to me. I didn't even think in my brain that that soccer complex has been around for that long. But wow, it certainly has, and they continue to use it to try to build the soccer program. But we'll see where things go here over the next 4 games in the regular season for Coyote Soccer. Again, they're back in action this week at North Dakota and at North Dakota State. Well, the Coyotes head to Youngstown State this week. They are looking for their first ever victory at Stambaugh Stadium. The Coyotes have gone there 6 times. They have never left with a win, and South Dakota hoping they can change that this year, because obviously the Coyotes trying to remain unbeaten in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. South Dakota 5-1 of the year, 3-0 in Valley play. The Coyotes have scored 40 points or more, 42 points or more in all of their victories so far this season, and South Dakota's offense has racked up more than 500 yards of offense in 3 consecutive games. I'll try to do that on the road at Stambaugh Stadium or under the lights at the Ice Castle on Saturday night. It's a 6 o'clock start time, 5 o'clock central time kickoff from Youngstown, Ohio. I had a chance to catch up with Bob Hannon. He's the play-by-play voice of the Penguins. Bob, it's great to catch up with you again. I know the season has, we're deep into the season at this point, and probably hasn't gone the way the Penguins had hoped coming off a playoff season from a year ago. But you look at this season, and how do you assess it? A lot of challenging opponents so far for the Penguins this year.
Well, John, always good to catch up. Certainly a major disappointment. I think at worst we thought we'd be sitting at 4-3. I think the red flags went up when we lost to Duquesne. Duquesne has a nice program, has been a playoff team, but that's a program we need to beat, and we just didn't play well. And it's really, John, it's the same story. We can't stop the run on defense. I think among the 129 FCS teams, we're either last or next to last in yards allowed per game and also yards per rush. What's really disturbing is we're not getting any better. And typically a Youngstown State football team, it's tough defensively, good against the run, that blue collar mentality. And we just haven't been very good on defense. And we've been getting gashed. The crazy thing, John, I still believe we're number one in FCS in time of possession. Usually that's a pretty good statistic. What's happening is teams are scoring so quickly 5 plays, 90 yards, 3 plays, 85 yards. Those kind of drives that we have the ball so often because the other team scores so quickly. We didn't expect this. Now, we were decimated in the portal defensively. I looked before our conversation to confirm. We currently have 13 players that got significant playing time for us last year on defense playing either at the FBS level or high-end FCS. So we really took a big hit in the portal, and we just weren't able to replace those guys.
Yeah, I know that's been a crazy part about the transfer portal world. Sometimes you can get really hit hard for it, and for Youngstown State, that means it's a young defense. Are they able to kind of learn right now in this time period? I mean, I know that there were some higher expectations, but this is a defense that you hope with some time can continue to find ways to at least get better going forward into next year.
Well, I'm an optimist, John. So next year might be the answer. Because I think what's most concerning is we haven't gotten better from game one. Actually, the opener at Villanova, Villanova's a top five team. We only lost 24-17. And by the end of that game, we thought, okay, by October, November, this group will get better. I think because they're so young and inexperienced, they'll get better, they'll get stronger, they'll get experience. Right now, there's a lot of confusion. I think many of the guys that are playing now on defense a year or two from now, I think we'll be good football players. Will they be all league players? I'm not certain. I think we're going to have to tap in the portal and get some wins over the next couple of years, especially this offseason. I think there's opportunity for this defense to get better next year. I'm not certain we're going to see much improvement this year. So that puts a lot of pressure on the offense to score points.
Yeah, when you look at the pressure on the offense, Bo Brungard probably does not get enough credit for how hard he seems to play game in and game out trying to lead this offense.
Well, I think the offense is pretty good. The name Brungard is one here that everyone knows. His dad was a quarterback, the only two-time national champion quarterback in the 1990s under Jim Tressel. He grew up here. He wanted to be a Penguin, wanted to play at YSU. Tremendous runner, has great speed, very deceiving the way he can run the football, averaging about 7 yards a carry. Where he needs to get better is the reading the defenses. He has 6 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. That's got to flip significantly. Just too many mistakes. I think that will come with experience. I think by the time he grows next year, when we talk at this time, I think Bo Brungard, his numbers will be much better throwing the football. But to this point, we haven't made many plays downfield, John, those explosive plays. And against defenses like South Dakota, South Dakota State, North Dakota, it's hard to go 10, 12 plays, 80 yards, and keep the football for 6 minutes. And that's what we've done when we've been successful, the Missouri State game. But if you get a penalty or you have a sack, it's hard to overcome that. So we've lacked those explosive plays offensively. What I do like, John, we have a really good offensive line. We have 4 starters who returned. I think we have 2 good running backs. Our receivers are capable. I would think this is an offense, if it wasn't for the issues on defense, is good enough to get us to 6 or 7 wins. And I think we'll be able to score against South Dakota and move the football. I'm just not sure with how explosive they've been if we can stop them.
Certainly have some talent at the running back position and some playmaking wide receivers. You remember that game from a year ago, Bob. We started going into a shootout back and forth in the second half.
It did. We fell behind. We were able to come back and score some points. Max Tomczak is probably our number one guy. Tremendous hands. Last year he was number 2 behind Bryce Oliver, who's now with the Tennessee Titans. A young guy that's really come on is Cyrus Traw, a redshirt freshman. He's played really well. Latrell Fordham, that big receiver, 6'3", 190. So I do think we have talent on the outside to make plays and to score points. Even the Missouri State loss, we scored 31. The game was tied late. We had the football twice with a chance to win. We weren't able to get in the end zone or at least get in field goal position to beat Missouri State. And as it turns out, they're a pretty good football team. So I think offensively we have a lot of the pieces. What we don't have, which South Dakota does have, is that dynamic, explosive wide receiver that can really get deep.
What's the feeling right now around the community and really the team? Obviously, you get to the playoffs a year ago and make it into the second game there, and then just kind of it feels like a step back a little bit this year. Is there still a lot of support, or is it right now a lot of confusion on what's going on with the program?
Well, that's a really good question, John. Last year, we get to the playoffs. We win a playoff game. 2 years ago, we were 7-4, and we think unfairly left out of the playoffs. So we had back-to-back good seasons, winning seasons. So we anticipated another winning season. The culture here in Northeast Ohio, and it goes back to Jim Tressel, is Youngstown State should be a perennial playoff team. And we haven't been. We thought Coach Phillips turned the corner. So let's say we were looking at a season maybe 6-6. I think that you could accept that. But I think the way we're losing twice this year, we've given up over 60 points. It's not a good feeling right now. There's a lot of people unhappy, not comfortable with where we are. And I think there's a feeling the Dakotas, all four, the gap is growing between Youngstown State and those four programs. And this is a proud Youngstown State football program that has a great history. So things right now aren't good here.
Five games left in the season, three of which will be at home. What do you think this team has to do just to build some confidence here over the last five games and get some optimism going into the offseason?
Well, we're in a tough stretch coming off that game against the Jacks and then South Dakota, North Dakota. I think the optimism would be, can we compete? If we get beat Saturday night, 34-20, 37-27, something in that range, I think we can accept that. If we get beat again by four or five touchdowns, then I think there's major concern the next 2 weeks if we get blown out, that there's no improvement. Where's the program headed? Are these players on defense good enough, or do we totally need to, overhaul the defense and go a different direction and go into the portal and bring in, 10, 12 new guys? So I think that the answer to your question is, can we compete? Can we go out there and give South Dakota a battle and battle North Dakota? And if we don't win, we don't win. But can we be in the game in the fourth quarter? I mean, what we saw last week, first six possessions, South Dakota State scored touchdowns in the first half. In the seventh possession, they just took a knee at the end of the half. That's what I think is bothering the fans and people close to the program, that we've not been competitive.
You look at the schedule for Youngstown State. You played a lot of afternoon games at home. We get night game on Saturday, a night game next week. I got to ask, what's with the night games at Stambaugh Stadium in mid-October?
Well, I think we need rain, wind, sleet, snow this Saturday night to beat South Dakota. I think the element's not going to be that way, John. It's going to be a beautiful night. It's going to be upper 60s and sunny. You never know what you're going to get in Northeast Ohio this time of the year. I think we try to – we move our games around. And honestly, this Saturday's not a factor because Ohio State's off. This is a huge Ohio State community. We try to schedule opposite Ohio State. So if the Buckeyes are night, we want to go at noon. If the Buckeyes are at noon, we want to go in the evening. I'm not really certain why we schedule two later games in the evening, but a lot of our scheduling is to try to play away from Ohio State. This is a community that roots for the Buckeyes and roots for the Penguins, and it does impact our attendance when we go against Ohio State. But I the weather won't be a factor. It's going to be a good night. I'm not sure why we schedule that, but our starting times are all over the board this year.
Yeah, it's kind of just the way college athletics have seemed to go. You just never know week in and week out. Bob, really appreciate the time. Looking forward to see you on Saturday, and looking for a good game Saturday night at Stambaugh Stadium.
Yeah, we're impressed with what – I mean, Coach Phillips and his staff, what South Dakota's done, and the talent they have, and the names on that roster we've been calling for a couple years. It's a very dynamic program, and we're looking forward to Saturday night, and hopefully the Penguins will play their best. Always appreciate it, John.
That is Bob Hannett. He is the play-by-play voice of the Youngstown State Penguins. Always great to chat with him, a very honest individual and a very well-known figure in Youngstown, Ohio. No doubt about that. So great to chat with him, and certainly appreciate his time for joining us here as the Coyotes and Penguins get set to meet at Stambaugh Stadium under the lights Saturday night in Youngstown, Ohio. We'll be on the air on the Coyote Sports Network at 4 o'clock Central Time. So check it out, our pregame show leading up to the opening kickoff at 5 o'clock or just after 5 o'clock. And we'll bring you all of the action from Youngstown, Ohio. Time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Thursday afternoon, the soccer team is in North Dakota to take on the Fighting Hawks in Grand Forks. Volleyball on Thursday night is back home against Kansas City. They'll play the Ruse at 7 o'clock. On Friday, swimming and diving, the women head to Ames, Iowa. They will compete against Iowa State on Friday night. Then Saturday, a lot of things going on in Coyote Athletics. You got cross country at the Wisconsin Pre-Nationals in Madison. You've got softball and a fall ball matchup in Sioux City against Briar Cliff. Volleyball is at home on Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They will take on North Dakota State. And then, of course, the football game at Youngstown State on Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, the women's soccer team is back in action in Fargo when they take on North Dakota State, an afternoon matchup in Fargo. And then the golf teams will be in action on Monday and Tuesday again. The men's golf team competing in Matthews, Louisiana, and the women's golf team competing in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Monday and Tuesday. And don't forget that Tuesday volleyball matchup is coming up for Coyote Volleyball as they take on South Dakota State in Brookings next Tuesday. So the Coyotes are in a stretch for volleyball where they've got five matches in 10 days. Going to be a busy stretch for Coyote Volleyball. To keep up with their results and all the results in Coyote Athletics, for news, schedule information, ticket information, and more, go to goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.